All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, cool. Last episode, we talked about Tamagotchis, and we talked about,
virtual ladies. Yeah.
Virtual ladies and stuff. So I have, put me on a kind of a wormhole.
Okay.
And I went on eBay, and I bought a huge lot of old software, discontinued virtual kind of pets here, based on the 90s, because that was the time.
The noisiest box you have ever had shipped to our office.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything's really rattling around in there.
Yeah. You know? Beeping and moaning and crying, weeping.
So I figured you could put your hand in here and pull out one of these. And, and a lot of these are based on properties from the 90s, you know, like really, really, famous games and movies and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I see a VR Troopers one on the top here. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A VR pet. So I just think that you reach in and you grab one and it might suggest a game for us.
Okay. Yeah. So I will go ahead and rattle around in here. This one feels weird. Grab this one.
The Matrix.
What?
It's from the Matrix.
The movie?
Yeah, they released a series of those based on the different characters.
Oh. Huh. So I can have like a little Morpheus running around? Yeah, like occasionally his glasses will fall off of his nose and you have to pick him up and put him back on.
Yeah, you just jam blue pill in his face until until the internet conservatives shut their fucking mouths. No, I don't think that's a Morpheus one. Here, flip it over.
Oh, okay. What's his name? Mr. Anderson. Oh, Neo.
No, you got a Neopet.
Oh, okay. No. Hey, I played Neopets.
Oh, with the game computer.
What? Oh, no. Wait, there was a video game based on Neopets? Several.
Looks like it. Several. And we'll never do another one? I say in the game computer voice. You fool you. This is it.
Yeah.
You done did it, Neopets. You've blown your Neo load. It's time. Fuck. This is immensely irritating as a game.
What has Ocarina of Time done? Like, just like a whole decade's worth of adventure games, action adventure games. Well, you need to start doing modest stuff in a pastoral setting before you go off on the grand adventure.
So sick of it.
Yeah,
I was so convinced this whole time that we had already done this.
Well, because it reminds you of so much other stuff.
And we did Star Fox.
Hurdy Gurdy and stuff like that. Yeah.
Gary Butterfield is Cole here.
Russ. Hi.
And this is Abject Suffering, the show where we will never do another Neopets property.
Yeah, and this is Neopets, the Darkest Fairy. This was actually the second choice of our patron here. Let me check here. Zom. Mm-hmm. Zom, let's say. Couldn't get the first one to run, despite a bunch of effort. So normally I don't make that distinction. However, you know, we tried. But yeah, this is Neopets the Darkest Fairy, a PS2 game. It was one of many Zelda likes that came out around the time that is based on or inspired by or draws from the world and creatures of Neopets, the late 90s, early 2000s virtual pet site for kids and teens.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I was 19 when Neopets came out, so I was waist deep in pussy and skateboards. So I don't know. I knew. I've been vaguely aware of Neopets my whole life.
Yes.
And even before
you, like, even when, like, in ages 1 to 18, like, yeah, you knew Neopets were coming.
I wish I had invented them so Viacom could buy me for like millions of dollars. And then I could try to do a follow-up called like the Moglings or whatever and have it just be vaporware forever.
Yep.
However, I had a vague sense as, oh, they're shitty Pokemon.
Right, right.
And then flash forward 39 years to me being right. And the end. Like, they're horrible Pokemon.
Yeah, really bad. Not great.
Designed to part children from their parents' money.
Designed primarily to get kids to watch and participate in immersive ads.
It's real gross.
Yep. No,
this whole thing is way grosser than I thought.
It's incredibly gross. Yeah, there is a long and sordid history with the Neopets, and I was there for all of it. You were 19 and drowning in pussy and skateboards. I was a young and impressionable 12.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, I was right in the pocket for this. This was a way, you know, I would be on AOL Instant Messenger with my buddies and we would be playing Neopets with each other. You know, we'd get home from school every day and we would check the store to see if we could buy some negs or some fairies before they all sold out, which they always sold out because the site couldn't hold up to the load of all the people trying to buy the limited stuff that was restocked every day.
That's negs for you.
Yeah, negs.
Can't keep on the shelf.
Negs were these eggs that you would buy that contained special items, some of which would increase your Neopets stats, which didn't necessarily matter because it wasn't it took several years for them to add like a battle arena.
Were the stats used for anything up until that point? Like, could you do like shitty track and field games or something?
I can't remember.
Okay.
I
was wondering if it was like the Crunchlings and that Captain Crunch game I want to do at some point.
Oh yeah. I knew that there were stats and I knew that I wanted those stats to get higher. But yeah, it was like this weird little economy that you participated in where like you would get items and you could set up a little storefront and people would buy them to craft their own stuff. Eventually you got houses that you could decorate and there were rare items and things. I genuinely like had a pretty good time with it again when I was 12 years old and like right in the pocket for it. Now I recognize exactly how gross it is.
How much immersive advertising did you watch? Do you remember partaking in any of that stuff?
I remember that I was really bored with it. I was and it was a big deal, you know, like they put out a bunch of communications like, oh, if you're under 13, you need to have your parents like fill out this form and mail it in so that you can have permission to be on the site, etc. Like all you got was in-game currency for doing it. I remember it being not very lucrative in terms of time. And I didn't want to play like the adventure of the McGriddles or whatever. To get that. It just wasn't what
now
I was there
I would
for.
Play the fuck out of that game.
Well, yeah, especially like, if it was for a show.
Yeah, especially if the emboss was the McGriddler.
Of course.
I just grew up past this, you know, because I would no judgment, I would have been in the same thing. Like I would have played an e-space version of a virtual pet. And I like a Tamagotchi.
Mm-hmm.
Like a Tamagotchi is just fine. Every single one of mine has languished until it's like died or just gone abandoned.
Well, yeah.
You know, like I can't keep up with that kind of thing for very long. I can't even play Animal Crossing. Like it gets too boring.
Yeah.
You know, they're boring video games.
Mm-hmm.
So an online experience, like if you're chatting with your friends though at the same time, then it's just kind of like a knitting circle, right? Like it's something to do with your hands while you talk.
Mm-hmm. No, it was like a daily check-in thing that you did, you know, which is something I hear about a lot of like web games like this, you know, like, it was just part of going to check my sites, which is a thing that you did.
Yeah. Yep. I could definitely see that.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the game, like it is just really generic.
Yeah. So in terms of this, like you are playing in a world of a bunch of anthropomorphized Neopet designs.
Which real quick, sorry, okay, the actual Neopets are not anthropomorphized, right?
No. You can go and look up like galleries of them. I've got a couple of them that I want to send to you.
I did look up some of them. So I didn't think that they were anthropomorphized because whenever there's like a thing where there are anthropomorphized animals, but then there are also ones that are just regular animals.
Right.
It feels like class war to me.
It does. Like when you start out, you're a wolf man and your parents are like, hey, you need to go corral all these zip zops that are running around. And the zip zops are just these little like little horse things.
Also just little animals.
Yeah.
And then I was like confused about that. But the reason why I thought maybe the actual Neopets were anthropomorphic is because I looked on the Neopets wiki and found out about pets. And then pets.
Yep.
Or like the pets. the draft name that made it into the game.
Yeah. No, pets for your pets.
Yeah. And then pets for those pets.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I found out about those things. So that's why I was like, maybe in Neopets, like your actual pet is more like a slave. And then they have a pet that's more like a traditional pet.
Well,
and then I thought, was Pocket my slave? And then I had a
whole, I mean, it depends if you ask PETA.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I was just like, man, from a certain unsane perspective.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Yeah. You know, and it, you know, it made me think a lot about pet ownership.
But like Pocket is only doing emotional labor for you.
Yeah. You know? Like, yeah. Well, that and I tie a little brush to his belly.
Well, of course. I mean, that's only... You know,
so he scoots around.
Yeah, no, but we call that poor man's Roomba.
Yeah.
when in reality, a cat with a brush on the bottom of it would only be like netting zero.
Yeah.
And yeah, no, it'd be
my old Roomba broke.
Oh, gee, that's sad. I'm sorry, buddy. Okay. No, but I've got two very special ones to send to you, Gary.
Okay.
I'm going to do the non-relevant one first here. At the start, there were like 12, 18 of these designs, and they were, you know, very clearly like, let's say just back of the napkin designs that were redrawn in Flash with like flat, with flat colors and things like that. Here's the first one, which was literally just, so the monster's name was Bruce. It is just a picture of the British television presenter Bruce Forsyth. Okay.
Yeah.
And so, like, you had all of these little animals, and then here is a photograph of Bruce Forsyth pointing at the camera and smiling as though he is saying, "You." Version 2. Go ahead.
Until he turned into a penguin.
Yep. Version 2. Yeah. They made it into a cartoon man. So your pet was this little tiny cartoon man with a pointy mustache. And then in version 3, they made him into a penguin.
Yeah, and then they went directly to penguin.
Yes,
it's pretty weird to fit in with the other Neopets.
Yes,
you think
you you need to see this other one though, because this. I'm just going to put this here and get your reaction.
Okay. Let me open that bad boy up. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, weird.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, so in the first several years, the first couple of years of Neopets,
do to her?
What?
She turns into a cow.
Yeah. No. You could have as a Neopet, musician, soul singer, Macy Gray.
Yeah, soulful songstress. and soulful little scratchy. Macy Gray. That's weird. Why, though?
I think that they just liked Macy Gray.
And that other guy. Yeah. And Bruce Forsyth.
Yeah.
So when you got a Neopet, were you assigned a Neopet randomly?
No, you could pick.
You could pick. So you could just choose. So
it was like picking an online avatar.
Why were you kids not just running around with a bunch of Bruce Forsyths and Macy Grays?
Why were you choosing
like a bad Pokemon?
Yeah. I had a Bruce and I had a Macy Gray. And my main one was a Shoyru, which is a little dragon man. Yeah, I mean, like, obviously Macy Gray is the one to do.
Yeah. Because it's a pretty cute little drawing of Macy Gray.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's holding, Macy Gray, I'd be very flattered by this.
It looks like she's holding a little ray gun kind of thing.
Sci-fi ray gun for some reason.
Yeah. I like her shirt, which is just a spiral. It's just a hypnotist spiral. A
little Uzumaki.
Yeah. And then version 2, maybe because of a threat of legal action or just preemptively, they decided to turn all Macy Grays in the game into cows, K-A-U-S. Yeah. Which is just a little
one
cow.
Of which is made out of melting butter.
Yes.
And is disgusting.
Yes.
Like one of them is extremely grotesque. I like the skeleton one though.
Oh yeah, skeleton one's great. I like the I always liked the sketch versions of them.
That's cool too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's very strange to me.
Yeah.
I knew about the first one because it showed up on Wikipedia.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who this guy is, but
right, just a TV dude.
Like David Letterman, for Over the Pond.
Hmm. Yeah, and just that there are a bunch of these, just not very good Pokemon kind of knockoff things.
Lots of them.
Yeah,
like hundreds of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like hundreds and hundreds, especially when you start looking at the pets.
Oh yeah, like well, once you get pets in there, it is absolutely way too much.
Like having that level of. Those different levels of pet is very strange to me. Like the mm-hmm. idea of like my pet having a pet and then that pet also having a pet. And then there's just being an implied hierarchy there, you know?
It's like, I mean, it's like a pyramid scheme is what it is.
It is like
each of your pets can have a downline.
Yeah. And the pet pets, the pets have the Neopets have intelligence in their eyes.
Yes.
Like, they're a little bit like a Pokemon, you know, they look like their animals are a little bit like more fantastical.
Mm-hmm.
But they look like they have like, and then the difference between the pets and the pet pets is the pet pets look really dumb.
Yes.
Like, they're just like very like, you know, googly eyed morons.
And there's absolutely like a pog art kind of thing to them too.
Yes.
Yeah. Like they're very different stylistically even compared to any version of the other Neopets, you know? So yeah. Like you got the Wuzzle, which is just like a cartoon flame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which can have a bee that lives on it.
Yes.
Cause nothing means anything.
Nope. Because that's all there to get you to watch more ads.
Yeah, because they might be able to lead you into the Gridler cave to watch something about a nugget.
Down the primrose path into the Gridler's domain.
Extra, new nugget. Into the Gridler's cave to learn about the new nugget.
Yeah.
And in exchange for that, give some fake money that you can then buy a pair of glasses for your little tiny flame.
Yes.
It's so like, when do you think the answer is we've always done this, right?
Yeah.
But there had to have been a moment in our life when we decided to exploit children.
Mm-hmm.
Like our history as a species, where we're like, you know what? These things are dumb. Therefore we can get things from them.
Yeah.
You know,
these things are
dumb.
Well, no, and then the cycle of violence continues. These things are dumb, and they have inordinate emotional control over the purse strings of at least two adults.
Yeah.
And also they have unlimited time, and they are very easy to manipulate. We can maneuver them into positions where we can exploit an entire family. Mm-hmm. You know, with Shopkins or something like that. Just
through this back
door. Yeah.
You know, through this little secret way in.
Mm-hmm.
and it's you know, Susie.
Yeah.
You know, and then you're in.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't bode well for humanity.
No, I mean, it doesn't say great stuff about us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's something we just do.
Right.
You know, I don't care for it.
Yeah.
It was always this.
Mm-hmm.
That was always the point of this.
Yeah.
Right. It was to make money through advertising. And then like you look at the Neopets story,
mm-hmm.
and it got bought by Viacom, and a dude came along. who started doing that immersive advertising.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, you know, again, very insidious and evil.
Do you know about Neopets' connection with the Church of Scientology?
No.
Yeah. So for about 5 years before the acquisition by Viacom, the original developers brought in a CEO, like a president, kind of guy. I forget the dude's name. I've got an article here. I'll pull it up. But over the course of 5 years, he ran the organization under a Scientology kind of business practice, which is claimed to have been recovered from civilizations as many as 70,000 years ago across multiple planets, called Org Board. Okay.
Org Borg. Okay.
But no, not Org Borg. Org Board, as an organization.
Okay.
Organization board.
Okay. Yes.
It is an updated business technology, quote, used by society 80 trillion years ago. mm-hmm. You know, his name is Doug Doering. Part of this, there are like six pillars: communications, dissemination, treasury, production, qualifications, public, and executive. Part of executive is anybody in the company who does not align with the views and values of the company should be let's say harassed and made to leave under any means necessary, basically.
Wow.
Additionally, dirty tricks are not off the board. If somebody is going to take something from you, it is up to you to retaliate in advance to take them out. And so as this person got in at the top, he started running it like a Scientology org, eventually bringing in people who wanted to start teaching the tenets of Scientology directly into the content of the game. And it was only after an ouster by the original developers and then ultimately the purchase by Viacom that all these kids were spared from getting a lecture in Scientology.
Amazing.
Yeah. You know,
that would be incredible.
You had your little Macy Gray, like doing like readings of Dianetics Jr.
Yeah. What if do you think that if that had come along, like, and you, there's no way for you to know this, right? But mm-hmm. if that timeline had been slightly different, like, you could have been indoctrinated into Scientology.
Man. Probably.
That's pretty interesting.
My parents didn't have enough money for that, but I mean, yeah. it might have been a thing.
Well, you know, but you could probably, you know, bleed them for what they have. I don't think Scientology would judge you think for they care. Four.
Yeah, they no, we just, you just end up in Sea Org, you know?
Yeah.
just yeah. scraping asbestos out of yachts.
You're the pet of Scientology. like, you get to be Jason Lee's assistant's pet.
some pets are more equal than others.
Yeah. yeah. The, yeah. Boy. Yeah, life is Jason Lee's assistant's pet. I mean, I'm hoping to become Beck's assistant's pet eventually.
He left. He's not a Scientologist anymore.
I don't forgive him.
No, it still sucks. He was like yeah. raised in it though, is part of the thing.
Yeah,
you know, mitigating factors. He still stayed in it well into his adult life.
Yeah, well into his adult life.
Yeah,
and well after he had power to yes. fight against.
Yeah,
so I don't have any tolerance yep. for.
Yeah, its employees inspect and essentially spy on other employees and then share any and all pertinent information with executives. So, yeah, it was like a Stalinist police state run at the pleasure and service to basically Scientology theology.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
I was looking at the history of Neopets and these events that are in here. Mm-hmm. The great chat filter broken. In 2015, which then that's what led me to understand that Neopets were still going.
Yes.
So that's what led me to go to their website. But the filter designed to prevent adult language and content stopped working. So the site's forums and other user edited spaces were flooded with adult content and obscene images. Mm-hmm. That's kind of amazing.
Yes.
So, you know, an entire weekend of just like absolute fucking clip pick party weekend on Neopets Island.
Neopets Rumspringa.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, then they got to like shut it down.
Yeah.
You know,
you can convert your Neo points into Bitcoin and buy PCP off the Silk Road.
Yeah, just for one weekend only.
Yeah.
You know, a bunch of people, like parents coming home and getting receipts for mail order brides.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So, yeah, that was pretty fascinating to me. And then the other thing that made this kind of hard to talk about, one of the other reasons why I'd never want to do another Neopets thing again,
right.
is this was so greatly anticipated, and Neopets had like a really rabid fandom, mm-hmm. that there's a million things about this game.
Oh, yeah.
It's like tons of 4-star reviews, 4 and 5-star mm-hmm. reviews, really long in-depth fact, like loving.
many of them. Facts. Some of the most verbose facts I've seen recently, actually. Yeah. Just like these reviews are crazy. I had one pulled up just because of the title. Video Game Mania writes a true classic, buy it intro. Yeah. This game is just astounding. I just absolutely cannot believe how much fun this game is. I'm like, yeah. it's just an incredibly shitty like copy of a copy of a copy Ocarina of Time knockoff.
Yeah.
Rent really, or buy? Really lol, you're kidding, right? Rent. If you didn't get that, it was sarcasm.
Yeah, if there's a replay value, 11 out of 10.
Yeah,
boy. No matter how many times you play this game, I guarantee there's something new you'll find. I feel like I would take that challenge.
This review was submitted in 2011.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts, man.
Yeah,
it's a it's pretty out there.
Yeah,
this whole thing. So it was a terrifying world. to duck into for a moment and then stop.
Yeah, but like Neopets was absolutely a thing, you know, especially back before, you know, I could convince, you know, I and my friends could convince our parents to like subscribe us to EverQuest or something like that. That there was always this desire to find online spaces that were relatively game like. Mm-hmm. That we could share and just kind of hang out in. So this is where things like Habbo Hotel or Tibia ended up, sure. in our lives. RuneScape for some other people. It was absolutely a thing that we were just crazy into. And now, as a 32-year-old, I have no, I just no, I cannot see a way in which I would ever do that. I don't recognize that person inside of me.
Yeah, well, it's just there's an amount of wastable time.
Yeah, yeah.
You have that kind of make sense with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like I just have time.
Yeah.
And I gotta put it somewhere so I can get old enough, quick enough to buy a skateboard and dive into a pussy. You know? I just need to get old enough for that. ASAP.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you have to do something.
Yep.
To get there. May as well be Neopets. You know? So I don't know.
You're just biding our time.
I had a brief moment with like thinking about this, and then just also in general about getting really nostalgic about having time in that way.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because my relationship to time, first of all, it's incredibly pathological, and then like second of all, it's changed so much in my life.
Yeah.
Where now, like, I have these very distinct memories of like, okay, it's winter break. I've got a week and a half off. It feels like an amazing eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And every day I'm going to pack in what feels like 40 hours of like fun nothing.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to read like multiple books. I'm going to like, you know, watch these TV shows, hang out with my friends, go out and play in the snow, like play through multiple JRPGs, like this whole thing. And now I am so divorced from that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, fucking if I ever do like the dream quest, that's what I'm trying to get back to.
Yeah.
You know, I'm entering in the Randolph Carter stage of my life. in a lot of ways.
Yeah. No, I mean, like at this point, any amount of time, again, pathological is a good word for it. Any amount of time that I have with no commitment, when there is no claim to or lease on that time, like I cannot enjoy it because all I am thinking about is that one call that I have scheduled for like the day after it, like the day after I come back. Right. Yeah. Like I just said, like immediately, again, not to be repeats a tweet guy. This may be repeats a Facebook meme guy, but it's like, oh, nothing in the world feels as good as not having something to do tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know,
boy. And it never happens.
Right.
Like it's super rare. And the nature of the work that we do is that even if I do have that time, I should probably be getting ahead on games.
Yeah.
You know, and I just have that intense feeling.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, it's a bummer.
Yeah.
Big bummer. Yeah. And you know, so in a way I yearn for the simplicity of the Neopets.
Yeah.
In another way, I don't like being advertised to, and I don't care about Scientology. Patched out Macy Gray.
They patched out Macy Gray. Macy Gray was OP.
Yep, Macy Gray need to get nerfed. She got nerfed. I saw that New Year's performance. She got publicly nerfed. There's like a really famous New Year's Eve performance that I watched live.
Oh.
It's pretty great. It's got Macy Gray, like, clearly just fucking drunk to the gills.
Right.
Coming up and talking and doing. And it was like this really, I watched it with some ex-girlfriend, like, we, like, irony watched it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, God, what is the name of that, like, co-host of American Idol? Or the main host?
Ryan Seacrest?
Yeah, it was like Ryan Seacrest, like, rocking New Year's Eve 2011 or something.
Right.
2012. And she comes in, she's drunk to the gills, does a really bad performance, and then introduces Bone Thugs and Harmony, who I have never seen less harmonious in terms of just being absolutely lit up on fucking
something. One third of your value proposition is gone, BTH.
Yeah, I can't even tell that all of you have bones at this point. and there's nothing less thuggish than Ryan Seacrest rocking New Year's Eve 2012. So you're basically batting one out of three.
Yeah.
Here, but it was just like really, really bad performances on this live New Year's thing. That was just this parade of disasters.
Yeah,
that was kind of infamous and very funny to watch.
Do you still stay up till midnight on New Year's?
Typically I do because I stay up till midnight every night.
Okay,
like it's very rare that I go. I never fall asleep before midnight.
Mm.
I go to bed before midnight.
Yeah,
more frequently now. Lately, I've been getting up earlier than I typically do. Like. So my going to bedtime has been rocking around 11 o'clock. But as we've mentioned before, I need about 2.5 hours of runway to fall asleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
So even if I take something to sleep and even if I'm like tired as hell, it just doesn't happen for me.
Yeah. About the same for me.
Yeah. So I do. But it's very rare that I go. And then like I've done New Year's Eve, like out of the last 10 years, I've maybe done New Year's Eve things, 5 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And those I tend to stay up until midnight. But it's at people's houses with families. And then that's when the party ends.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Pocket. Enough, bud. My Neopet is acting up, so we should end this episode.
Your pet. No, we need to hear about the blood bag.
Oh, my blood bag. So I got a tattoo.
Okay.
It's Kermit from the Tiny Puppets. And the way that this tattoo artist does aftercare is instead of having a bandage that you wear for 45 minutes, he puts an airtight kind of plastic bandage on that you wear for several days. And the thing about tattoos is they bleed. So on my side of my arm, on my bicep, I have an image of Kormit, but through a thick layer of blood that is shaped like Kormit.
Metal.
Extremely metal. And it looked great with the dud. Or not the, so I didn't actually have that with the dud. The dud turned into a different kind of nightmare when he turned into a 3D mushroom man from scabbing. But it just looks like this bloody Kormit on my arm. And it's this little sack that I have on my arm. It's filling with blood.
Okay.
I don't think I'm still bleeding right this moment, but I spent a bunch of time bleeding the first day. It started leaking as I got up and was going about my breakfast. So I just looked down and had blood drip on the counter. In a scary way, like the ceiling was going to collapse with blood or something.
Right.
And then found out that my blood bag had started leaking.
Your blood bag broke.
You know, my blood bag broke. So I needed to go in the shower and remove the blood bag.
Mm.
And now I just have kind of like a gnarly bruised looking Kormit, which will probably scab up a little bit and then will eventually turn beautiful.
Is the idea behind the blood bag, to make it heal faster or more cleanly?
Yes. Okay. In my experience, because the podcasting tattoo I have was a blood bag joint.
Mm.
And that healed way faster than any of my other tattoos.
Gotcha.
So that is the idea, is that I might just luck out and this will not turn to a weird mushroom man.
Mm.
Which is when you have centimeter thick scabs on it that are the color of the tattoo.
Yuck.
And it's really gross. Yep. It is the worst phase of tattoos.
Mm.
So I had a moment where I was getting it because I really like my tattoo guy. Had a really nice time talking to him and the experience and stuff. Like, I like having them. But if it wasn't, the recovery is the thing that stops me from getting more of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's harder to sleep. You can't sleep in certain positions. And it is like a low level patina of anxiety that is on top of the low level patina of anxiety I always just have.
Yeah.
Where I'm I'm going to fuck this up and scrape it, or I'm going to, do something to ruin the healing and get this ugly mark on my arm for the rest of my life.
Yeah. I try to minimize the number of open wounds that I have on me at any given time.
Yeah. And it's definitely an open wound.
Yeah.
And it's a see-through blood bag too. So it just to the naked eye, it just really looks like something's very wrong.
Okay, so. Cool. We teased the blood bag. We needed to address the blood bag.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm glad that you remember the blood bag.
Yes.
I'd almost forgotten blood bag.
Yeah. I didn't want to get added about the blood bag later.
No one needs to be added about the blood bag. I'm still going to do, I talked to, the nice thing about talking to him is I think I have my next one lined up because I want to get a pocket tattoo, but he's a black cat and those are hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to just get knife cat because it's not my image. And also, pocket is, I want pocket to get, he's growing out of that there. I don't want to just remember pocket for being a demon. He's, Nick came over and saw him for a little bit and was just surprised. Oh, he's really sweet. And I'm yeah, I know. He comes off as a demon on recordings because he doesn't like when I'm not paying attention to him and he acts up.
Mm-hmm.
But I talked to him about the feasibility and pain, which were the things that put me off of getting the tattoo I want to get, which is, totally embracing the self-employed lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And getting the tattoo, .. across my right knuckles and .. across my left. So I can put up my dukes. And I just think that's very funny.
That is a very good.
Yeah. And I don't mind a tattoo that's just a joke. Yeah. But I didn't want to do it because I was that's supposed to be an extremely painful spot. And then mm-hmm. when you move your hands, especially if you do as much as I do, when I spend so much time typing and playing mm-hmm. video games,
yeah.
they will they fade. Mm. And he's like, no, if you're just doing text, it will fade a little bit and it will hurt, but it'll be over really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And he just basically said no, it's actually pretty feasible. So I think that might be, and it won't be very expensive because right. it's just characters.
Mm-hmm.
So I might get that next time if I decide I fully want to commit to not working in a bank ever again in my life or ever for the first time in my life.
Yeah. So I'll get so .. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah is also really good. So yeah. I don't know. There's all kinds of funny things you could get on knuckles.
Yep.
Yeah.
Huh. Yep. Well, I think that's all we have about Neopets. I wanted to make sure. I'm looking through my tabs. Talked about Scientology. Talked about Macy Gray.
We did it.
We're good. We did it all.
Yep. We did it. Yeah. So thanks, everybody.
Greta, what are you doing over by my audio interface?
Pulling a pocket.
Yeah. Okay. Continue. Sorry.
So thank you, Zom. And thank you, everybody, for listening, especially patrons. If you go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. You can get bonus episodes of the show and a bunch of extra stuff.
Yeah.
And extra appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts are also very useful.
Yeah. If you back at $10 currently on the Patreon, you get access to all of our premium episodes of Abject Suffering. People have asked for highlights on that. One that recently came up was the Harry Potter episode, episode 50 of Exquisite Suffering. Oh. People seem to enjoy that. That is where we pitch a story about the Sorting Hat.
Oh, the Uncle Sorting Hat. Because I couldn't remember what happened to that one.
Yes.
Because I don't remember anything that is in an episode. But
so, yeah. It can be a lot, but there are good starting points. And people in the Slack will guide you.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, yeah. So, until next time, get cracking, Night Aches.
Mm-hmm.